Hey, I'm Marty Sequeira of Cooking Channel's Taste and Translation and Drop 5 Pounds. When I want some sizzling food info, I tune in to the SoCal Restaurant Show right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball.
And welcome back. It is the Mother's Day edition of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show, and I've been tardy in mentioning that Lou is with us in technical excellence this morning. Thank you, Lou. And we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. And if you go to our Facebook feed right now, you will see a wonderful image of Ashley Albert and Kevin Rodriguez, who are the proprietors of the Matza Project. You will get a chance to see them, but also they are surrounded by all the products that are in the product line of the Matza Project. And it is a pleasure to welcome Ashley and Kevin back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, hello again.
Hi.
All right.
Now it's time to get Kevin back in the conversation because Ashley is worried that he's not getting equal time. Kevin?
That's kind of how things tend to go around here.
No worries, Kevin. Kevin, we have everybody's attention. Take us through the product line because there's a lot more than just the flat matzah in the square box. Those matzah chips are, you know, really what you got going. So kind of give us the overview and a little bit of the history.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly that. It's the history, I think, that will really explain how it came to be. It was, you know, we started with a basic salted matzah. That's what we put out to 4 stores here in Brooklyn and Manhattan when we did a test run back in 2016. And, you know, as we were building the brand and we really based everything off of that, both of that original box visually and also from that original dough and salted version of our matzah that we started with, which, you know, it's flour and water and oil and sea salt. So it was pretty basic, and we just really got the proportions where we wanted them and got a product that we really loved and built off of that. And when we that first year, when we first started making the product, we had a really fortunate opportunity to bake matzah for the James Beard House here in New York,
which, yes, indeed,
they were having a Passover dinner, and we were invited to send product. And one of the things, as we were baking the product, when I used to trim off the edges of the matzah, I would have these little sort of rectangular slivers, and I would bake them on the sheet just to have around as a snack. And Ashley said, hey, let's put a bag together and we'll send it over to the chef when we're sending over the samples, and just so they can try them. And they loved them and ended up using those as a platform for building their appetizers in addition to having the matzah on the table for the dinner. And so that sort of sparked this idea, like, okay, here's this similar but not quite the same, you know, and that's how we developed the chips, actually, because we felt like here's an opportunity to get this item to people, but in different flavors and in a bag where it's a little bit less precious. It's not quite as, you know, as fancy, and you can just pick it up and grab it and take it to a picnic or something along those lines. So we worked off of that.
And it would reframe matzah for people. Like, people who didn't know what matzah was, now it could be a quinoa chip. It could be anything. It's a matzah chip. Who knows what that is? It's a chip. It's in a bag. I'll buy it.
Yeah. Exactly. And then it just started building flavors off of things that we liked or thought might work well or appeal to other people. And that's how we put our harissa flavor out. We have a cinnamon sugar. We did an everything flavor. So kind of, you know, not trying to be too traditional, but also I think you're building off of a traditional item. So you always have a sort of a reference point to look back to.
Makes sense. And go through, if you would, Kevin, the full flavor line for the matzo chips. You mentioned the harissa. You mentioned sea salt.
And also, right, a cinnamon sugar and our everything, like an everything bagel. Literally, someone said this is like eating the outside of the everything bagel. You know, it's like the crunchy part with all the toppings, but you didn't have the doughy part in the middle. And a lot of people use it in place of bagels, and they just put cream cheese.
Like,
or they
don't have to go. In the morning, you don't have to go for brunch. You don't have to, if you have a bag in your house, you don't have to run out for bagels on Sunday.
I love it. Now, how did the matzo ball soup kit originate? And you have something going with a very famous Jewish deli in New York that unfortunately their brick and mortar doesn't exist anymore, but their product line sure does. And anybody that knows anything about delis remembers the Carnegie Deli.
Yeah. And we feel really fortunate. I'll just use that as a moment to say that we've found restaurant partners have been super excited about that was completely unintentional.
It's okay.
But we are working with Carnegie Deli, and we have Zingerman's Delicatessen in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Incredible
we work
people.
With Chef Brian over at Farm Shop in Santa Monica.
Yes.
As you mentioned,
Birdie G's.
Jeremy Fox over at Birdie G's. So we've had this opportunity to really get our products to people, and they've taken them and really elevated them in a way that, I mean, some of the most beautiful bowls of matzo ball soup are happening in Southern California for sure. They've really taken those products on. And for us, the development of it, creating the matzo ball soup kit, I knew that if we were going to do something like that, I would want it to be something that I would really want to eat, which for me meant, you know, feed my family, clean label, no artificial ingredients and colors and all of that. And something that I would find delicious even straight out of the box, even if you didn't, you know, add extra stuff to it while you're cooking it. So,
and for me, I wanted it to taste yellow. He wanted it to be, you know, all natural and a vegan broth and, you know, kosher and all the clean ingredients. And I was like, but it has to taste yellow, because to me, that's what matzo ball soup tastes like. I was like, I can't explain it, but I'll know it when I taste it. And so we somehow managed to get this clean label vegan broth, you know, matzo ball soup with no MSG and no yellow number 5, but it tastes perfectly yellow.
Yeah, which had that nostalgia.
Of course.
We're looking for, but a lot more complexity and actual dehydrated little carrots and bits of onion and that sort of thing.
Boy, Kevin, you don't make it. You don't make it easy for yourself. Not easy to do.
No.
Oh, okay. We've talked about the matzo ball soup, but there was a little something else that you included in my care package that is outrageously good. This is the 72% dark chocolate, shredded coconut, toasted rice, toffee matzah. What on earth?
The ungapachki. Yes, they're called ungapachki.
Easy, Ashley, easy for you to say. You don't give us a phonetic pronunciation on the label. For shame.
We've considered changing the name because I feel like it's too—it's intimidating for people who don't know how to pronounce that word to even ask for it at the store. So we've considered changing it to Wonder Cluster. Who knows?
That's easier.
Yeah, but they really are scrumptious, and we don't make them the whole year. So when we make them, they sell out very quickly because we have to send them out. We don't want them to melt, so we only make them in the cooler months.
Yeah, and well, they're basically a mashup of all these delicious things into a cluster that we sort of, it was a take on the traditional way that people would make matzo with, you know, matzo toffee. You lay out the sheets on a baking pan and melt toffee and chocolate on top, and we took that and created a cluster out of it with more stuff.
Well, really good. And actually, I have to apologize because I am looking at the box right now, and I do see you do have a pronunciation guide on it. I just missed it because I'm looking at Booby here saying, you know, get them away from me. So, what can I say? Tell us, you know, you were out here not too long ago at the Natural Products Expo West. I think it was just the two of you exhibiting. Tell us a little bit about the reaction you got. Do you feel you're pretty well known to that group at this point, or is it still a combination of people that know you plus people that are discovering you from the first time and say, what's this all about?
It was our very first time doing that show. You know, people always say it's like the real biggie.
It is a real biggie.
It is a real biggie. And we had actually bought our booth for 2020. And we had been self-distributing before that, just really sending our stuff out on our own. And we had just signed on with a big distributor, and this was going to be our big debut, March 2020.
Oh, my.
So that didn't happen. And so this was really kind of a, a 2-year in the making process to get there. But I think because our packaging is so recognizable, even if we're not everywhere, people who've seen us feel like they see us everywhere, because when you do see us, you notice it. And I think a lot of people flew to that show on JetBlue, and so they had a and they were like, wait a minute, I just saw you guys.
Well, and I think also the packaging lends itself to environments that are not even necessarily where somebody would think to purchase a food item. You know, right now we're at the National Museum of Jewish History in Philadelphia, or, you know, we've been in other museum gift shops and places where
that's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an honor, really, because it really makes us feel like it is a food product, but it really means something more to people. And I think that is a really nice thing to be able to share, both to people who grew up eating matzah and to people who maybe never had it in their lives. And it makes it somehow accessible, and we're able to share something culturally with a larger group of people, which is nice.
Well, Kevin, I think the point you're making is a valid one. You know, this just isn't an ethnic food product. And I think, you know, particularly with the matzah bits, you're getting that wider exposure now because, as Ashley was saying earlier, I think that's more familiar to kind of mainstream folks. And the square box of matzah can be a little intimidating in terms of, well, you know, what do you do with that? It's such a big sheet. Now, a big question, because we have our audience's attention right now. Where can we find the Matzah Project's product in Southern California? We talked about Bertie G's. We talked about the farm in Brentwood. Tell us more.
Yeah, so we are at specialty stores mainly. So I'll just preface that by saying not a lot of big grocery stores would have us yet. We are at Catella Deli in Los Alamitos. We're at X Market in San Diego, Vintage Grocers in Malibu. I mentioned Farm Shop in Santa Monica, little stores like Wine and Eggs in Los Angeles, and then always available online, because I know that a lot of these stores, if you don't necessarily live nearby or frequent them, it may be harder to find. But we are on our website at matzahproject.com, and we can be found as well there.
So, Kevin, the full product line is available online, just to qualify that, because that's good to know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, a wonderful discovery at the Natural Products Expo West. Their first time exhibiting. Glad to know that, and glad it was a successful show for both of you. The co-founders of the Matzah Project, Ashley Albert and Kevin Rodriguez, and, of course, Brooklyn-based. Thanks for the time, and we look forward to following your progress. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show. When you return, after all that matzah, we're definitely thirsty. We're off to the Rhone Valley of France, and we're talking about a relatively unknown AOC there called Vento that has some incredible wine and a great history. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.